The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to see in the desert? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Why then did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today is Gaudete Sunday. Rejoice. Be happy. Be grateful. Be joyful. You heard that word a few times already in the prayers. And if you're wearing pink, you got the liturgical color correct. But I don't have pink on. Father Chris does have a vestment, pink vestment. Do you have a pink? Okay. So, see, I had to wear the blue with the deacon here so we could match. I really don't look good in pink. So, darker colors are my color. What was the first scripture that a New Testament scripture? Do you know what the first New Testament scripture was? Anybody? Beside Deacon and Jana, who was here last night. You know, it's funny, when you open up the New Testament, what's the first gospel? Matthew. You know, we always thought that Matthew was the first gospel written, but we know now, scholars tell us that that's not true. Mark was the first gospel written in 70. Matthew didn't come until the 80s, along with Luke. And then John later, maybe in the 90s. But before that was Paul. And Paul wrote in probably late 40s, early 50s. We know for sure Thessalonians was the first letter that he wrote. The first scriptures is supposed to be Thessalonians, the letter to Thessalonians. And in there he's calling people to rejoice and be happy. You know, the Lord has come. And then the Lord is coming again, the second coming, the parousia. And so he was all excited, Paul, and he wrote to the community that he founded. It was mostly Jewish, living in Thessalonica at the time. And they were converted to Christianity. You know, and so it was a new, actually they were called the Way before they were called even Christianity at the time. Paul wrote his letter before the Gospels were written. 20 years before the Gospel was written, he wrote his letters. And he gives us his recipe for happiness and how to live in love with the divine. And his recipe to be happy and joyful always, and the way to do it is to pray at all times. Well, pray at all times, yeah. Now, to achieve this seemingly impossible task of praying all the time in all circumstances, Paul says one must be grateful in all circumstances. One must be grateful. When gratitude becomes our way of life, our inner attitude, then we will always look for something to be grateful for. Even in bad times and in darkness and in troubles in our own lives, in our family lives, we'll always look for something to be grateful for. And so for those who are in love with God and who are grateful, bad things can never really happen to them. Why? Well, because they will see the gift in negative things that happen. And this experience will bring out the best in them. They're able to realize, you know, the important things, the real things in life, and see life for what it really is, and not the passing illusions that cause so much suffering and take away our joy and our happiness. So when we focus with grateful hearts on positive things in our life, we find that these parts of our lives keep growing. And then we have more and more things to be grateful for. And that's the way it works. Here's a story that may help you, that illustrates what I'm trying to say. There was this young man who spent all of his life taking care of everyone else. And he helped people bring peace to their families. He found jobs for people, and so that they could be more comfortable and live decent lives. He visited people in hospitals and in prisons, giving people hope. And in short, he was a man for others in a very real sense of the word. But then one day, the occupying troops were taking him to prison. They entered this little town that he lived in, and they arrested him on the streets. And they began dragging him to prison. And he asked them to let him go home and tell his family before bringing him to prison, but they wouldn't listen to him. And then he begged them to send a messenger to his family. But they dragged him away and they locked him up in a high tower. So the man could not stop thinking about his family and how anxious they would be and worried over him. And they had no way of knowing where he was or what was happening to him. And he looked out the window and he saw all these people walking down the street, people he knew, people he had helped. If only he could attract their attention, he knew that they would get a message to his wife and family, and that would give him and them some form of peace. So all of a sudden he realized he had two coins in his pocket. And so he took out one of the coins and he prayed over it. And then when the group of people was passing by under his window, he threw it in the midst of the people. And he was sure that if one of them saw the coin, that they would look up and they would see him. So he dropped the first coin on the ground, and sure enough, a young man saw it, went over and picked it up. But the young man did not look up. He just said, "Oh, this is my lucky day. Look what I found." He put the coin in his pocket and he walked away. Well, the man had no more, he had one more coin. So with all the hope in his heart, he threw the second coin right down in the midst of another group of people who were walking by. And a lady ran over after this coin and picked it up. And she was so happy. "My lucky day," she said. And so she put it in her pocket and she skipped away. Well, the man was sad. And in desperation, he began to stare around in the room that he was in, at the walls of his cell. And it was an old, dilapidated room that he was in. And he noticed some loose powder, and some of the bricks were loose. So he grabbed one of the bricks, and not trying to hurt anybody, he threw it down in the midst of these people walking by. And this time, when he threw it down, everyone looked up. You see, I think the story is telling us that, you know, in a way, that God is constantly throwing gifts at us. Small ones and large ones and big ones. But often we pick up the gift and we just say, oh, my lucky day. And we don't give thanks to the giver of all good gifts. We just walk away. Life goes on. We take things for granted. We take people for granted. We take life for granted. We take everything for granted. Our health, our sight, our hearing, until we get older. But we take it all for granted. We don't stop to notice the giver. And so we don't give thanks. And so we're not grateful. And so sometimes it appears that bricks fall on us and into our lives and bring us to our senses and raise our minds and our hearts to God, to the divine. You see, gratitude, they say, is a memory of the heart. And this is why when Jesus was departing and he gave us the Eucharist, he asked us to celebrate it in memory of him. We come here to remember. It's a memory. And so we remember with gratitude his life, his death, and his resurrection every time we come to Mass. Have you ever noticed that in the ones who are naturally grateful in the Gospels are usually the people who are the outcast? The people who are, you know, who are the lowly? They're the ones who are most grateful in the Gospels. Not the rich, and it's not those who have power that are grateful. Those condemned by society and religious leaders are often the only the ones who are being grateful. They remember and they relive the power and the presence of the divine in their lives. Let me end by saying this. People ask me sometimes for a simple help in their spiritual life. How can you improve your spiritual life? Well, I ask them to think about 3 or 5 things that they can be grateful for before they go to bed at night. Before you go to sleep, think about 3 to 5 things and thank God for them every single night. But if you fall asleep with, you know, it's never good to fall asleep thinking about problems or thinking about people who disturbed you and upset you or anything negative. I mean, it's never good to do that. These work in our unconscious, and they'll affect us the next day in our waking hours. But if we fall asleep with gratitude on our minds, when we sleep, our hearts and our unconscious will continue to look deep for more things to be grateful for. And you'll always find more things to be grateful for. You see, gratitude at its core is an awareness of the gifts and the presence of God in your life. You remember that God was with you throughout the day. And when gratitude becomes a way of life, then we will be praying all the time. And we'll always be happy. We'll always find something to take joy in. This is good for our spiritual, our psychological, even our physical life. And so with gratitude as our personal attitude, we will be in union with God every moment of our day, every moment of our lives. So I ask you, what are you grateful for? Family? Your health? Life? Friends? Yeah? Community, yeah. Community is very important. It's good to have community, to know that you're loved and accepted and part of somebody and something bigger than yourself. You have a lot to be grateful for. We're very fortunate. I know I am.